Welcome to another episode of Styling Matters with your host Lizzie Richardson. Now this week I'm delighted to get to chat to personal stylist and model Marie. She's from Empowered Style and her business is based in Reading in England. We met back in the summer at a Smartworks charity event and we kind of connected through really by the fact that we both agreed that style mindset is far more important than what's hanging in your wardrobe. And I think based on that, I was really quite keen to interview Marie further to understand about how she got into styling herself, hear about her childhood and how her mum made all her clothes. And she tells a lovely story about how close she is to her late mother. And I think a lot of us can connect with just how much our childhood plays an important part to our own style journey. Now, throughout the interview, Marie gives lots of tips and shares how she manages her wardrobe, how she works with her clients, and yeah, we really just hope you love all the chat about style. Enjoy.
Perfect.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm good.
Good morning. What have you been up to?
Well, just kind of, I don't currently have my office.
Ah, so I did see something.
Yeah, I'm kind of stationed down in my living room and I've been a bit worried about lighting, so I've just been setting up really. And you're on my little tripod.
Bless you.
How are you?
Yeah, good. I've been looking forward to it.
Me too. So we've had a few people joined already, so hello.
Hello everyone.
And before we kind of say we'll do some quick fire questions, but before we do, just for the people that have joined already, just tell us a bit about yourself. I've told people you're based in Reading. Is that
that's right.
We met at Smartworks, didn't we? One of the Smartwork events.
Correct.
And you're a personal fashion stylist. So just give us a little background and then we'll go into some quick fire questions.
Okay. All right, so I am a personal stylist. I'm a qualified personal stylist. I style women from the inside out. I believe that in order for a woman to really identify with who she is, she needs to know herself, obviously. And I think, therefore, once she can kind of be comfortable and begin to fall back in love with herself, I think the styling side is actually secondary. So what I do is I try to work with the lady to find out why she's stuck when it comes to styling herself, when it comes to fashion. What is it? Why, you know, where did it start? And then from when we discover where this thing started from, and it can be quite an emotional journey. I'm not a counsellor, but I'm a coach. So what I'll do is I will help her to identify where this thing started and begin to change those negative tapes so that we start to see her, she starts to see herself the way that I see her.
I was going to say, I think that's how we bonded, because it's both you and I have that same approach. It's all about the mindset.
All about the mindset, absolutely. And I think once a woman can really come to terms with what the issue is and know that if it's not a fact, it's a lie, she's able to move on. I mean, it's a gradual process and I may see her more than once, but, you know, she's on the right path. So I always, you know, think about when I first meet a lady to when by the time we've got to the end of the session, it's two completely different people that I'm dealing with. You know, she may come in with her head down, lack confidence, that sort of thing. But by the time we've finished with her, she feels on top of the world. And that is my aim every time. It gives me so much joy to see that, to be able to impart that, to be able to empower women to be able to do that. Because myself, you know, I've been on a journey. You know, I've been through so much stuff in my life. And, you know, I more recently lost my mother. And grief for me really just gripped me in such a way that I never thought possible. I never imagined
that. Because my father died about 6-7 years ago and that was a massive turning point. That kind of losing that generation above you takes away some kind of security blanket.
Absolutely. And because my mum was so instrumental in my life, I mean, she was old, she was 87 when she passed, but I don't think it matters when you lose your mother, especially if you were close to her. It's one of the hardest things that I've ever had to deal with. And, you know, I went through a stage of really needing to find out who I was. And I cut my hair off. I literally chopped all my hair off in the bathroom one day because I just, yeah, and that's where that came from, because I used to have quite long hair. But I wanted to know who I was outside of her.
Yeah.
And so my whole self journey then.
It's weird how you say about hair, because, well, without going into too many personal details, I didn't have a fringe. I used to have long hair, just all one length hair, is the best way to describe it. And when I needed to get over the grief of my father, I felt like I needed to draw a line under things. And that's when I had a really dominant fringe cut in, because that was me saying to the world, right, I'm moving on from this bit. And I want to
and it almost felt rebellious. It did feel rebellious to go.
If I'm honest, because obviously we've only met once, we've interacted a few times. Yeah. To me, it gives you a bit of a style edge. Yeah. I love it. It's very funky. But it's very modern.
It wasn't intentional for that reason, but it has actually gone in my favour. So I do believe that my mum is still around somewhere, because so many doors opened as a result of me chopping my hair off.
So when do you think, because Styling Matters is really to get to understand everybody's style journey, because I think what's really important about style is we all approach it very differently, and whether you're qualified in styling or whether it's just something you do or you just feel like it's part of your everyday, we still all do things differently, and I think sharing some of that can really be helpful. As a child or in your childhood, at what point did you think style is important to me?
It's always been, because my mother was a dressmaker.
Right.
So she literally made all my clothes. And because I'm the last of seven, there's 11 years between me and my last brother.
Wow.
And my mum and dad separated when I was nine. And so I was very much my mother's world. So in the evenings when she would be doing her dressmaking, which was when she would sew quite a lot into the early hours of the morning, it was just me and her. And I'd be laying on the bed and watching her cut out fabric and chalk and tack and use all these different, you know, terms about cutting on the gore and cutting on the bias and, you know, bias binding and all this kind of stuff, and get my scissors and pick up the threads off the floor. That was my job. Like, I had to collect all the bits of thread off the carpet. But I was very much kind of in that world for as long as I can remember. And that's where my style, the whole thing around style started, because as a child, my mum would make all my clothes. Even though we never had a lot, she would always, I never went without in terms of the way that I looked, my appearance. She'd have matching socks, matching ribbons, you know, frilly socks, frills on the bottom of my dress. She'd make the whole lot, and people would be like, where did you get that? You know, and it was
that uniqueness.
Yeah,
that's really good. I mean, that's really great. So she obviously was very prevalent in your own personal style then, changing from teenage years into your early adult stage. But at what point did you start to explore your own personal style?
I would definitely say in the 80s, with the influence of people like Madonna and Whitney Houston, and you know, those were my style icons. I guess.
How old were you in the in what year were you?
God, stop it. I'm the same age as you, darling.
Oh, okay, so I'm
49. I'll be 49 soon.
So it is sort of your late teens then. Early teens.
Early teens, 12, 13, you know, the pedal pushers, the tank tops, the knitted tanks, the neon socks, the caps on, the brass caps on your shoes, the bottle tops, all of that. I was down with all of that. I've always loved style, always loved it, and I've always had an eye for it. My sisters have always told me that I should have done styling a lot earlier, and my response to them is that I'm not late, actually I'm on time, because I think life experiences, you know, you have to allow yourself those life experiences to really shape and mold you to be the best version of you. That's what happens in the end.
Well, I mean we might dive into this a bit more, but there's different types of stylists anyway.
Sure.
And I think, you know, if you're a fashion stylist on a fashion shoot, that's one type of stylist. But I can't imagine many 40 plus women be happy to be styled by a much, much younger person, you know, from a one-to-one personal styling service. Mm-hmm. I think there's different stylists for different needs. And I think, yeah, you're right. I mean, I didn't qualify. I mean, I trained as a personal stylist to improve my writing for my blog, because I felt a bit like,
yeah, I think I remember, we had, yeah,
you know, my blog came about because everybody was always asking me where I bought things from, and then blogging became a thing, and I thought this is the perfect platform to share. But I wasn't qualified, and that imposter syndrome kicks in at some point, because people go, well, why should I listen to you? And so I felt like I had to get qualified. But to be honest, through all the conversations I've had and stuff like that, I think if it's like yourself, I've always known it as a child. I used to tell people what to wear when I was like 5 years old. I would critique people in front of everybody. So I think if it's in you, isn't it?
Yeah, my eldest sister, she would always say that, because she lives in Zimbabwe, and when she used to come over, and when she does come over, she's always asked me to go shopping with her, because she says, you know exactly what fits me, what suits me. And it just came naturally, you know. Yeah. And I think when something comes naturally, it's not really a job.
Well, no, because you can, and I don't know if you feel the same, but when you did your training, I didn't really learn anything new. It just reinforced what I knew already.
Absolutely, yeah.
So yeah, no, yeah. I think that's important. Let's just quickly talk a bit about your modeling. So did you model before you became a stylist, or was that something quite recent?
So the modeling, how that came about, is I was in a very dark space in my life.
Okay.
I'm not going to go into a lot here, but I moved towns, and my eldest daughter went into school one day, and they were offering leaflets to the children to say that there was going to be a modelling competition in the centre of town that would go over a number of weeks. And so she came home one day and she was like, Mummy, I really want you to take me to this modelling competition. And I'd gone through such a hard time. I'd moved to a new town. I'd got her and her younger sister. So I think she was about 8 and the sister was 5 at the time. And I said to her, you know, I don't really want to get involved in anything. We've moved to this new town. You know, I just want to just lay low, you know. And, she, you know, as children do, she went on and on. So I took her into town. And, the organisers tried to persuade me to sign her up. So we did. She broke me down. I did. And then they turned around and looked at the little one in the pushchair and said, well, what about her? And I said, no, let me just sign this one up, because, you know, I just think I just don't want it to be such a big deal, because I'm not into modelling or anything like that. I don't really want to put my girls out there like that. But a few of them came over and said, no, we really think that you should sign the little one up. And in the end, they broke me down. I did it. And I was walking away with the pushchair. Another person ran over to me and said, actually, we think you should sign up as well. I was like,
oh, wow. So me. Three of you signed up.
I was like, me. I said, no, because it was for a competition. So I said, I'm not confident enough to do something like that. Right. First and foremost, I was a singer. If it was a singing competition, I would have said yes.
Right.
But to do modelling, to stand up, pose, all of that in front of people in the space that I was in at that time, it just felt too much for me. So then I thought to myself, well, you know what? It's a strange town. Nobody knows me here. What have I got to lose? Just to shut these people up and just for them to just leave me alone so I could go about my day. I just thought, you know what? I'll do it. So we signed ourselves up, and it was, the heats were like over a 4 or 5 week period.
Okay.
So I thought, this is just too much. But anyway, I went along with it. The first daughter, unfortunately, she only went as far as the first two heats.
Yeah.
The second daughter and myself, we went all the way through to the end. So the second daughter won the overall competition and won test shots with the model agency that we're still with today. So it's 20 years on.
20 years. Because I noticed on your Instagram, you just recently on This Morning.
Yeah, so I do that quite regularly.
Yeah, and I have to be honest, the last one that I just saw with the pink and the red outfit, yours was definitely the best by a long shot. And yours had, I thought yours was the designer.
Amazing, isn't it?
I know.
The only thing I think with that skirt was that the shorter length for me was the giveaway. I think had that skirt been longer, because the fabric of mine was nicer.
Yeah.
But that it was the length for me. I like things to either be all the way down or let it be short. I'm not really an in-between kind of person for myself and my body shape. Yeah. So for me that was the giveaway. But nevertheless, yeah.
Wow. Well, let's do some quick fire questions and get into some styling stuff. So we thought this would be a fun way. If anybody who's watching wants to put their own answer in the box, I'd be more than happy to do so. But so I've got about, I don't know, 7 or 8 of them. So heels or flats?
This time in my life, it's a hard question, that one. My day-to-day is flats for sure.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. But I do love heels. And I think having children has had a bearing on that for sure.
Yeah. When you come to style yourself, do you go colour first or print first?
Colour.
Always.
Yeah.
You're big into colour.
Yeah.
And then okay, so it's a mix of style and some beauty ones. So nails, are you a natural girl and paint your own, or do you go into gels?
I have gel nails and have to have them done regularly. I need because a job could come up today. So with on the modeler, yeah. So you have to always be doing self-tape, so your nails have to be.
Is that a tip for anybody who is
with modelling? Yeah, and neutral colours. Okay. They don't want to see anything dark because it could be a skincare ad or something like that. They need to see your nails. So literally when you do your self-tape, they'll ask you for your profiles, but they'll also want to see your hands as well, because your hands are very important as well when it comes to doing
that. Good tip. Yeah. So Maria Ann has put builder in a bottle, isn't it? Is totally fab. I've just switched from gel to that. That is definitely
a bit harder, not longer wearing. Okay.
They put it on just under your gels, just to strengthen it so that your gels last that little bit longer. You can probably get an extra week.
Worth to check.
Fashion magazines. Are you Hello Fashion, or were you more likely to pick up British Vogue?
Absolutely.
British Vogue.
yeah.
Are you more spring summer or autumn winter?
Spring summer, because I come alive in the summer, so I would say spring. I do like layering, but I would say spring summer, because I like a dress.
Yeah, I'm a spring and autumn. Not very keen on summer. Yeah. I find summertime a little bit boring for styling, if I'm honest.
It's normally a one piece, isn't it? Because you don't really want to put anything else on. So
exactly. Yeah. Handbags or shoes? Which are you more likely to spend money on? Shoes.
Yeah.
And then if you were heading out the door and you've got no time and you can only do one of two things, would you do your hair or would you do your makeup?
Makeup.
Okay.
I can throw a cap on. Headscarf, as I've been doing for the last couple of days.
Oh, I don't blame you. I can go anywhere with no makeup on, but if my hair's not right, I am so grumpy all day.
Really?
Yeah,
but then my makeup isn't right. So long as my brows are on, I'm good to go. That's it.
Yeah. I'm with you there. When you come to styling yourself, do you prefer to style day outfits, or actually, you know, do you look forward to styling yourself on an out night?
I think day outfits. Yeah, I do. Because I like to keep things fresh and keep switching things up. Day outfits, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it comes to print, which would you say is your favourite animal print?
Probably the leopard print.
Yeah.
I've always loved it. When I think back, I've always worn it. But I'm a bit there with it at the minute. Yeah. I don't know why that is.
Do you have a particular colourway on the leopard print?
Just the normal.
Yeah, you're like me. I don't...
The colourful stuff for me is a little Yeah,
can I'm look not a gonna... bit cheap at times.
You said it.
It can be. I mean, I've got a lilac leopard print dress that's in a jersey, and that's been the only colour leopard print that has kind of lent away from that kind of looking too cheap.
I think the way it used to be would be that the colourful animal print would be a little bit more youthful.
Yeah.
And for the classier woman, you'd go with the more neutral
tones.
Yeah, the brown tones. But then I guess it depends on the woman, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really funny because I've worn leopard print my whole life. Mm-hmm. And when they said it's now in fashion, I thought, oh, God, darling, I've been wearing it for years.
Cat Butcher. No, coming further back.
Bette
Lynch.
Yeah.
That coat was banging, you know.
Everybody wants that coat, trust me, especially with the mob wife going on.
I've tried it.
Last one on the quick fire then. In your handbag, forget your phone, your purse, your keys. What's the one thing in your handbag that has to go out with you?
Hand cream. I'm a black girl. We call it the black girl syndrome.
Because I have to be honest, I've got a little OCD with my, I can't stop washing my hands. And people keep saying to me that I should carry hand cream because I do have dry hands. But I don't like the stickiness that it leaves. I then end up washing my hands again. Oh, so no. I just can't get over that.
You probably need to experiment on a different formula.
So, okay, we talked a bit about... you know, sort of the past and your styling in your childhood. But today, what is your personal style?
I would say, if I could use three words to kind of sum up my personal style, it would be chic, comfortable, and put together. Yeah. Is that three words?
Can I get
away with that?
Yeah. I think when I've watched your outfits of the day, when you've been styling, it's very much, I always think your outfits are very thought through.
Really?
Yeah. No, I do. You know, you never look like you've just chucked anything on. It does all, you know, work together, which obviously as a stylist it would, but what I'm trying to say is sometimes it's not just grabbing the same thing, you know, seeing your content, you always have very different outfits. So there's always a lot to learn or be inspired by. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
For sure. And then do you wear anything sort of day in, day out that kind of denotes your style that, you know, even if you didn't say anything like I'm a personal stylist, that people who see you regularly would know that you always wear something of some kind?
I think the men's black coat that I've been wearing, it's a vintage coat. And it's very oversized, but I absolutely love it. And I think that coat really does make a statement.
Yeah.
It's just something a little bit different.
Yeah.
I know that there are a lot of people out there now that are wearing those kind of oversized men's coats, but there is just something about that coat that I think just makes a statement.
Yeah.
I actually look like my brother. My daughters keep saying you look like you're like Uncle Denton. And he obviously he's older than me, and his style is very sort of granddaddish, but there's something about it that I quite love. He was into Doc Martens and things like that back in the day, and that's me.
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, for me, I would say a little bit, I don't often always wear my coats. I quite often drape. In fact, I went to an event a couple of weeks ago in London, and just as I was leaving, I put my coat on because it was raining. I actually put my blazer on before my coat, and that for practical reasons. But one of the event hosts said to me, but you arrived with it draped. And I was like, if I can, that's my preference, is to have it draped.
And I think there's something really very chic about that. It's very ladylike. And it makes me question, like, am I no longer ladylike?
For me, I mean, partly it's because I get very hot, but
it's a great look.
But also, particularly the last few years, with such big sleeves. I like dramatic sleeves, and I like them big puffy and all of that. Like, you can't actually physically get a coat over them. So this the kind of draping kind of really works for me.
Just pausing the podcast so that I can tell you all about the Ageless Style Rules that I live by. This is my e-guide that you get when you subscribe to lovebylizzie.com. It's completely free, and all that it means is that when I put any new style posts on the blog or I have any style notes that I wish to share with you, it will land directly into your inbox. My e-guide gives you everything to get going about living your own ageless style life every single day. They're the rules that I live by, and I want to share them with you. I'll pop a link into the show notes, or just simply head to lovedbylizzie.com. Back to the show.
When it comes to shopping, then, for yourself, are you led more by the current fashion trends, or do you think you stick to a classic style and go more investment?
I think a bit of both. A bit of both. Because I think that as great as trends can be, I think you should dress to what suits you. Because trends come, trends go. Some of them we know they go round, and that's great. The waistcoat's fantastic. I've got a bag of them, love them. But I think you have to know what works for you.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work for you, don't break an arm trying to wear something that really isn't for you. You know, I think it's really important to kind of know your personal style. And then every now and again, if a trend pops up and it works for you, then go ahead.
Yeah, because it can be frustrating. I mean, silver trousers, for example, I love it on quite a few people that I've seen. I do think the quality of the garment that you buy makes a big difference. I've seen some really good silver trousers or silver maxi skirts.
Oh yeah.
And I've seen some not so great. But for me, it's never worked. And so if the silver trend, for example, I had to go into accessories for that. That was that's the right. only way. Yeah. That
I haven't got any silver trousers for the same reason. I've got a short sort of A-line silver skirt, which I think looks quite nice with a white plimsoll. Quite playful, but it's not immersed in that whole, a silver handbag would be nice, silver slip-on shoe, something like that. But yeah, the trousers, not for me.
How do you handle if you're doing personal styling and you've got a client in front of you, and I suppose their brief is, I want to be more modern, I want to really get into the trends, and you can clearly see that their natural style would be more of a classic or romantic style that perhaps is less dramatic than they would like to be. How do you help somebody like that? Perhaps wants to be something they perhaps wouldn't naturally be.
So what I might do is get them to, when, for example, when I've done personal shop with people, what I would do is get her to think about dressing for three different occasions. So it could be one going out with her friend for drinks, another one could be going shopping, another one could be weekend, and so that I can sort of get an overall look at the type of style that she has, how she sees herself, and then sort of take it from there, really. But beforehand, what I normally do is do like a mood board with her,
right?
So I would ask her to show me some photos, so she would share some photos with me online, and then I would create a mood board based on some of those pictures, but then also inject some of my pictures for her as well. And you know, often when women are coming, well, more often than not, when they're coming to you for help, they need help. And so whatever it is that you're going to give them, they're going to generally roll with it. Obviously you can't make a person, you can't you know, you can't force her to wear something that you know would 100% look amazing on her. But there's just ways of kind of persuading and showing her how, you know, if she just tries it, she might be pleasantly surprised.
It's the trying on bit that can always be a little bit of a challenge. And, you know, in the past when I have helped ladies, I've always tried to say, if you want this, you've got to have a really open mind. Like, you've just got to leave your concerns at the door. or in the changing room, you've just got to have a go at everything. And if it doesn't work, yeah, it's not the end
fine.
Of the world.
It's fine.
You know, you've got to kind of, and I think even through my blogging and everything, I talk so much about playtime.
Yeah.
Playing with your own wardrobe. People go, oh, I've got nothing to wear. And you think you have, you just don't spend, if you put as much effort into your wardrobe of trying things on and restyling as you do online shopping to look for new stuff, you'd get more out of what you've got already.
And that's, I so believe that. And, you know, many of the items that I've got, I've had for years.
Yeah.
Years, because I don't know, there's something about, if there's an item that I've bought that I know is a classic piece, I'm not going to get rid of it. And that's sometimes that can be an issue.
Yeah.
You know, but I try and store things that I try and rotate my wardrobe anyway. So like my summer things are up in the loft and then I'll bring those down and take my winter stuff up. But before I actually go and purchase anything for that season, I'll always look to see what it is that I've got and see where the gaps are for me to be able to go and get something else. Because there's no point in having something that's similar to what I had last season.
I know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can still get caught up in the moment, be out shopping and see something that's completely unsuitable. Mm. But I just think it would be great for whatever's coming up.
Never will.
But, but you know, because we're not all, you can't all be perfect all of the time. But most of the time, I think you have already got 80% of your wardrobe. But yeah.
Especially, I think, for a woman of our age. I think we've probably got, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes you just need, dare I say, just a new bag or something just to, or a new pair of sunglasses just to feel.
Absolutely.
That
I'm down with that 100%. And it could be that your whole outfit is, you've had for God knows how long, but you need something extra just to, you know, whether it be a pair of sunglasses or something just to, that's current, that's on trend now. That would just bring that whole, refresh that whole outfit again.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So sticking with wardrobe then, do you have any tips you can share just on the kind of daily management of, or weekly management of, you know, how you go about actually looking after your wardrobe? So you say that you do this change from spring to autumn and that, but is there anything else that you
What I do is I colour coordinate.
Okay.
So yeah, so that's because when you've got a bunch of, I don't know, dresses that are all different colour, for me, or patterns or whatever, I'll definitely colour coordinate all my dresses, colour coordinate my blouses, my tops. So I know exactly what I'm looking for, because today I might wake up and say, like today, I want to wear black. So I went straight to the black section and just picked out the black shirt that I knew exactly where it was.
Yeah.
And I've literally just got it on with some faux leather trousers. But yeah, so that's one thing that I do. And I also prepare your outfit from the night before. Often when I go to school, mums will say, how did you do that? How did you get yourself so put together? Blah, blah, blah. That's my secret.
Yeah.
Even the children's clothes, and my children's clothes are ironed. I make sure that my clothes are ironed, because when your things are ironed, it doesn't matter how old they are, but you're going to give them new life. They're going to look new. And it's either ironed or steamed. Doesn't matter.
Interesting you say that, because, well, I don't hide it. I work Monday to Wednesday in corporate world.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my colleagues actually said to me, God, you know, you must have to do a lot of ironing every morning. And I'm like, What do you mean? I'm like, I iron my clothes and then they go into the wardrobe so that I can pull them out and I can, you know.
Do you do that then? Do you iron? Because my mum used to have an ironing day. Do you have an ironing day?
Oh, well, I don't have an ironing day. No.
I used to, to be fair. But the more kids I got, the more I thought this ain't going to work for me. So that went out the window.
But the thing, I suppose what I'm trying to say is when I open my wardrobe, I have things to wear.
Sure.
So I have choice.
Yes.
And as a mood dresser, I've got choice in the morning. So did you watch the Beckham's documentary?
No.
Oh, because one of the things that came out of that, David Beckham,
he's got
plans his outfits for the whole week.
Oh.
And he has them all ready to, and he plans every element of it. And
that's the thing. Literally, down to earrings, lipstick.
You have
I've got it all out.
Everything.
Yeah. So I'd know exactly what I'm wearing the next day.
But if you
wake up, so it just takes all that effort out. Say that again, sorry.
So if you woke up today, so obviously today you've chosen to wear black. Mm-hmm. So based on that, you decided that last night. But say you woke up and thought, no, actually, I want to wear red.
I might.
Or do you still go with...
I generally just get, because I've already done it. Why am I going to give myself more work? I've got the kids to get to school and all of that.
Yeah.
It's done.
So
it's
this for you is the time-saving element that you can give to people.
To make yourself look and feel good, because you're going to be put together. Even if it's a colour that you don't really want to wear, you're going to be put together because you've got everything from scarf to belt to, it's all out.
Yeah.
It's all there.
I'm laughing because Zahn's, I didn't know Zahn. Hi Zahn, Zahn's on here. And she's put, I wish I could be that organised. I know Zahn, Zahn's even less organised.
But then I think
me.
It's, you know, it's going to take the stress out of the next day.
Yeah.
That time could be used to do something else.
Yeah.
During lockdown, I did a lot of research on habits and all of that. And I think if you can start to set these little habits, you're going to help yourself.
Yeah.
And when you've helped yourself, it reflects then on everybody else. Everybody else has got a little bit more time with you. I've got a little bit more patience in the morning because I'm actually done now. My boy's done. My daughter's done. Their clothes are ironed. They look well going into school. It's all good.
Yeah, and actually, that must be a really good, positive way to start your day.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is a habit, and habits are hard to form. They are, especially when it's something that's so far away from your norm. But I think that you owe it to yourself to try and, especially as you're getting older, because I'm all about having me time, having self-care time, having downtime. I cannot function, and I'm so happy that it's now become such a habit in that my family respect it as well, because if I'm happy, then everybody else is happy. And I think we owe it to ourselves as women, you know, to be able to be the best version of ourselves and whatever that might look like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So coming back to your own wardrobe then, do you have one or two pieces that, you know, have just been such a support system in your wardrobe that, you know, you might have bought them 20 years ago, or you might have only just bought them in the last couple of years, but, you know, are there and it's quite a supportive piece of item that you think people should have in theirs?
I think, what would I say? I'm going to go back to the black coat, because that is something that I've found that I reach for it all the time. It goes with everything. Even when I've been dressed up like you, I could throw it over my shoulders. I haven't done that yet, but I could.
Yeah,
you know, it just works for so much. So I would definitely recommend, and it's not going to go out of fashion.
No,
it's going to be a classic. And it was a men's vintage coat. I think
you
it
know,
cost me about 25 quid.
Menswear can be such a big big part of it. I mean, one of the blazers that I wear is actually my husband's blazer. It's from Reese, and he doesn't want it anymore. And he was either going to sell it or give it to charity. And I was a bit like, no, I'll have that. And I've worn it loads and loads to the office.
These vintage kilo sales that pop up in your town every now and again, I would say check them out.
Really?
Check them out. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Check them out. Another thing for me would be a white shirt.
Yeah.
Definitely. A crisp white shirt. I like an oversized, more of a straight cut white shirt. Even a men's one. That's something that you reach for and instantly put together. Crisp white shirt. What else would I also like, for me, because it's quite nostalgic, I think about Whitney Houston when I'm in this particular item. Just a white bodysuit. Sleeveless bodysuit, a vest kind of, for me, I don't know whether it was on the front of one of her album covers anyway.
Yeah.
But I do love that look. It's just so fresh.
She was always so on point.
Yeah. And red lipstick for sure.
Do you know, and just observing you and every time I sort of seeing you, with you, if I was to describe you, it's for me, I always see your earrings. your earrings are very much part of your look. And I can imagine if you did nothing else and just put your earrings on, you are done.
I make earrings as well. So I've got a little, So Fangles Dangles on here. They actually promoted it as well on the This Morning programme, because I was wearing my earrings on one of the days that I was modelling. And I'm very creative with my hands. I can and so you know, I started making jewelry during lockdown. I'd actually started a few years ago, but then I stopped, and then after my mum passed, I threw myself back into that because I found it as a means of escape. I was able to create these items and women loved them. And my sister took her load to work one day and she's like, Marie, you need to sell these. And that's where that all started. But yeah, I love obviously matching. It's all again, it's all being creative, styling, matching, colours, all of that. So, you know, to be able to have accessories that go with your outfit, I think is the icing on the cake.
Yeah, for sure. So just a couple of more questions then. Where do you typically shop? Do you shop online these days or do you still stick to the high street?
I'm not an online shopper. I hate online shopping. I need to be able to go in and see and feel. I guess that's the mum, my mother in me. She needed to be able to see and scrunch the fabric and see if it creases and all of that kind of stuff. I will buy online if, for example, it's something that I've seen in store they haven't got, and so I need the next size, something like that. But generally, I don't have any luck when it comes to shopping online. It never works for me. But Zara is my go-to.
Yeah, I would say Zara and Mango are the only two I really shop online for.
Right, okay.
Because I sometimes see stuff on Zara website. And then find it in the shop. But I just think sometimes you miss out on some good Zara pieces if you don't get them online. Yeah. And that. But yeah, I hate their website. But I have to say,
everybody does.
Just, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who's behind that is unbelievable. But yeah, but to be honest, everyone talks about it.
So I know they're doing something. Yeah, absolutely.
So my last question is going to be around sort of sustainability. Obviously, you know, at some point you do have to have a clear out, move stuff on to allow for new stuff to come in. So how do you approach it?
Okay, so I recently had new wardrobes, and so I did a clear out then. I do need to do a clear out again. But what I'll do is I will set three piles. So items that I'm not so sure about, items that I'm gonna throw away or give to charity, and then items that maybe need repairing or something like that. So I'll literally pull everything out of my wardrobe. And as I said, I colour coordinate all my items. And then what I'll do is I will, if I have to try things on, because the weight is a real thing. Things change. So there's no point in holding on to items that literally don't work, don't fit anymore. And if it is an item that I was in love with, I will, rather than torture myself, go find the same item in the next size.
Oh, that's a good tip.
Absolutely. Why kill yourself?
Yes. I sometimes do torture myself, going, one day I will wear you again.
Forget it. Let it go.
That's good.
And just thank it. I love that. Marie, what was the name? Marie, I've forgotten her surname. The lady that the
I know who you mean, the Japanese lady.
Yes. That's the one. Thank the item for bringing you joy and let it go. And give it to your sister or to your niece or to your cousin.
Do you not sell on eBay or Vinted or anything like that?
Sometimes. I mean, I've got a case of stuff in the loft for items for Vinted, but you don't know when it's going to sell. Like, how long do you hold of those things? It's just a lot. In my mind, sometimes I just feel, you know what, I've got to go. So I will give it to one of those charity shops, you know, the charity markets or whatever. We've got one actually in Reading Town at the minute, and just bag them a load of stuff. Generally, if it's something that I think that I could make a bit of money off on Vinted, then I'll hold on. But generally, I'll just give it to charity or pass it on to somebody that I know that really needs it.
Yeah.
often. Yeah, because there have been women that I've styled that I know certain items that I've got that I know that I'm not wearing it, and she would love it. And absolutely, and when you see her in the item again, it's like, wow, this is amazing, you're giving it a new life, you know.
It's really challenging selling on pre-loved, and I'm not sure sometimes how sustainable it is with all the posting and everything, but you know, it's particularly when it's like H&M, Zara, Mango. I mean, at the end of the day, you're only going to get £5 here, £10 there, but
and you've got to drive to wherever it is, you've got to package it or
something. It takes over. I tend to do it in batches. I'll have a couple of weeks of having a really good go. I've got some at the moment. For the last, I'll be honest with you, for the last 6 weeks I've been trying to find the time to batch up another load today, and I just think, oh,
it's a lot.
Yeah. You've got kids that can help you out with
that. My kids take my stuff. That's where I'm at. My girls come and they're like, Mom, do you want that? And it's gone.
Oh, bless you. Well, listen, I've really enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, no, it's been a lot of fun.
And all that. So how, just tell people that are watching how, if they want to get in touch with your services, what, you know, how can they do that? Where can they find you?
Okay. So I'm on Instagram as _empoweredstyle. What we offer, myself and I've got a photographer that I work very closely with, and we offer this pearl package. We've called it the pearl package because we believe that on the inside of every woman lay the most amazing pearls waiting to be discovered. And so what I do is there's a range of different services within that, but I will coach the lady, we'll create mood boards, have a Zoom discussion about what it is that she actually wants to gain from the session. And then we have her in, do her hair, do her makeup, and we shoot her.
So you do the hair and makeup?
Hair and makeup, yeah. And you,
Will they be wearing their own clothes?
Wearing their own clothes based on the mood board that I've created for them. So items that are as close to, but what I'll ask of her is just to show me beforehand, the shoot, what it is that she wants to wear for the shoot. And if there's accessories and bits and pieces like that, I'll advise her accordingly. And we'll have a lot of fun doing this photo shoot, and it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I pose her as well, because obviously I've got the modeling background. We also do a modeling shoot as well for people that are wanting to get into modeling and they may not know where to start, so we would offer the headshots and also recommendations for model agencies that they might want.
I think there's a lot of people that particularly in the creator world that want to make that leap into modeling.
That's right, yeah.
And it is a minefield, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it's just the posing as well can be quite daunting if you don't know what you're doing, you know. But to be able to pose these ladies and get the best shots, like, I love it anyway. I love it. I get so.
I take it though, you don't recommend going to Zara website for their posing techniques. Well, listen, thanks, Marie. Oh, really so enjoyed lovely. The style chat. Yes,
really lovely speaking to you. I'm actually off to Smartworks because I volunteer for Smartworks Women's Charity. So I said I'll do this live and then I'll go. So today, styling women for Smartworks. And if you don't know what Smartworks is, can I just give it a quick plug on here?
Absolutely.
Smartworks is an amazing charity for women, whereby what we do is we offer interview techniques and coaching around finding work, and we also then dress the lady. So there's basically a whole massive wardrobe whereby we put items together for the lady for work. It's absolutely free of charge. The items that she receives are free. So the first session that she receives, she'll receive her items for work, that she'll, you know, her attire for work for the interview. And then if she gets the job, she can come back and get up to 10 items free again for to create a staple wardrobe that will keep her going until she next get paid.
Yeah, and it was in that wardrobe that Marie and I met, because I went to Smartworks. I went to one of your special evening events to promote, and you gave me a guided tour, didn't you? And it is an amazing service.
Absolutely.
That is so needed when women are out of work. Mm-hmm. their confidence can hit rock bottom. And if we go back to the beginning of our conversation, styling is not about what's in your wardrobe. Styling is actually about your mindset. Absolutely. And having that positive mindset, clothes are secondary. But Smartworks have got this spot on with the coaching and the confidence building, and then finding the clothes that will support that, so that you're putting your best foot forward for your interview, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Love it. Thank yeah. you.
Okay.
Thank well, you so much. Take care.
See you soon. Bye. Bye. And thanks for everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Styling Matters. There's always more on my blog at lovedbylizzie.com, and don't forget to give me a follow on Instagram at lizzie.richardson. Bye for now.